Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 23rd of April, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly weaker. The declines, rather, were mostly small, although the Hang Seng Index and India's declines were a little bit larger, up around the 1.7 to 1.8% range. Europe really took it on the chin here today. We had some big declines once again, a lot of them over 3%, and the Swiss, not the Swiss, that was down 2%, but I see. Sweden down 4.6%. That was the biggest decline. The UK down 1.85%. Now, more on that in a moment. In the Americas, again, all to the minus side. The biggest one was Brazil down 1.5%, so a lot smaller than Europe's declines. Wall Street down 1% on the NASDAQ, 0.84 on the S&P. They clawed back a lot of the declines that we had seen earlier on. Well, a chunk. They maybe got back about 40% of the declines that we'd seen. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices were firm against that background. Excuse me, as you would expect. And the US dollar is a little steadier. Not all that much, though. I'm looking at it against the euro. Excuse me, and all that weakness in Europe, but the euro is only down 26 cents here. It's at 131.58. Sterling is actually up once against the dollar, 161.29. The dollar's weakened against the yen down to 81.16. Aussie half a cent lower. Precious metals were hit hard earlier in the day. Gold got down to 16.23 and 50 cents. It's currently trading after hours at 16:39. So that was a good recovery. It's only down 380. Platinum down more, $23. Silver was down well over a dollar, but clawed back a chunk of it. Still down 77 cents at 30.95. Grains and beans a little bit firmer in here. The industrial metals were mostly weaker. Crude oil is weaker in the U.S. The WTI is down to 103 and 10 cents, and the Brent had been lower but closed pretty much unchanged, 118 and change. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, the correction, if there was any doubt that this is a corrective phase, well, it would have been dispelled by today. Well, it should have been dispelled by last week and the week before, and we maintain that this predictable correction in response to the derivative gains that we saw from the October lows, and particularly since the beginning of this year, is now in what is likely to be a fairly lengthy reaction and consolidation phase and mean reversion towards the 200-day MAs by the stronger stock markets, which include those of the US, also the ASEAN stock markets, and a number of the Central and South American stock markets. Now, of the various concerns, well, I think it's totally dominated right now by Europe, and not without justification, because the problems are real and they're not going to go away for a very long time. And there's still a terrific amount of uncertainty in terms of what's actually going to take place. For instance, all of the Southern European periphery countries, plus Ireland, which had been protesting over the austerity measures that they were being pressured to adhere to, they don't want to do that, not surprisingly, and that doesn't help confidence all that much. And then you've got Hollande in France, who's almost certainly going to be the next president, and he's talking about pushing for growth, but among the specifics and all the many promises, I'm no expert on this French election, but there's talk of lowering the retirement rate once again for public sector workers and this kind of nonsense, which isn't going to help. And I'm never that impressed by socialist solutions to slow growth. It's mostly just state spending, state jobs. Now, also today we had in the Netherlands, we had the government offer to resign because they had lost the support of the Freedom Party in the coalition, again over austerity measures. So this is all helping to rile sentiment somewhat. If you take a long view on this, I think it's not that bad a thing because austerity alone is not going to solve Europe's problems, and actually it will compound them because the growth slows even more. So somehow they have to find that magic formula that boosts genuine GDP growth, which they need desperately, and combine that with a deleveraging process. Throughout these economies, in terms of overall debt, it's a position that no country wants to be in, and Europe's going to be in it for quite some time. Also, Europe was upset by the last but not least, it's the most important factor. I think there was some weak manufacturing data out of Germany. So again, it's all about Europe here right now, at a time though when, as I mentioned right at the beginning of my introduction, the global stock markets were really due for a corrective phase. Now, among the concerns that I had been worrying about previously, it's nice to see oil sort of gradually drifting towards the wings. Again, leaving center stage in sole possession, and in terms of global investor concerns, leaving center stage solely to the with the European problem. I think sentiment is coming around more towards our line of thinking on China, and that this is oversold, and things are not going to get all that much worse. And yes, the economy is slowed down. But we're likely to see more stimulative measures there. And where does it leave us? Well, valuations are getting better, if you want a silver lining to all this. And there's some very attractive valuations out there. So these things are always unnerving while they're going on, because until it's over, and then some. In other words, until you start to get fairly decent recovery, or until you get the sort of climactic sell-off that I'm hoping not to see, until one or the other of those occurs, you're just dealing with a situation that's doesn't look too great, and you're not sure just exactly how bad that it will be. I'm hoping that we don't see anything along the lines of what we saw last year, and I don't think we will actually on the known knowns, as it were. But I have said in my other audios that this corrective phase could easily last a number of weeks and possibly months, and That remains very much my view here today. Elsewhere, currencies are not doing a great deal. We're not seeing a surge in the US dollar this time around. Now, that tells us that I think we don't have as much fear in the markets as we have seen, or certainly that we saw in the middle of last year, really in that third quarter of last year. But the bond yields are getting right down there, and the prices for these bond futures are pushing well up into their top areas. So that's perhaps well, that is equivalent to what we saw last year. And what that's suggesting is that expectations regarding growth, despite all the talk of a self-sustained, self-feeding recovery in the United States, if there's a little bit of whistling in the dark over that, and that the growth is not so good. And then a very important indicator of that, I feel, is the softness in commodity prices. If you average them all out with something like the Continuous Commodity Index, that's the old CRB. And that's testing its December low, and it's well below the high of a year ago. Now, that's encouraging news in terms of some of the future inflationary pressures. And it obviously doesn't offset all the monetary printing inflationary pressures, but at least it shows us that commodity price inflation it hasn't disappeared, but it's subdued. It's not the problem that we've seen in the past. But then again, crude oil got up to the highs. Before the setback in crude oil, it was trading at levels that we saw approximately a year ago, and that was a headwind for global GDP growth. And I mentioned in my audios that it was a headwind this time around. And so that's contributing to slower GDP growth. And then the quantitative easing in the US is on hold right now. And that recovery that we've seen to date, that rather modest recovery in the US economy, of course, was achieved with the help of steroids. And they're not giving the steroid injections here just at the moment. Will they have to? There are a lot of bonds expiring that are coming up for rollover. A lot of corporate bonds, particularly from some of the private equity activities back in 2005, that may possibly be a concern. There's a little email item on that in my copy here today. Precious metals. Well, I'm hoping that we're near a support building phase, but platinum has broken downwards once again, and silver moved down out of a very narrow range here today. And gold is hardly a tower of strength, but it's still slightly about $110 above its lows that it had seen back in September and also in December. So I think silver's, I beg your pardon, I think gold, well, and probably silver, a reasonable value in here, but silver is so volatile, and it's a really that can so easily move in a $5 range. It's fairly tricky. What else to mention? I think that's pretty much it. Weigh it all up. Growth is slow. That's reflected by the markets. And people are still worried about the euro situation, although I don't think we'll see the white knuckles to the same extent that we did back in 2011. That's a small comfort. And for those who have cash, and probably a good many of you do. It's a good time to be looking at which high yielders you want to pick up, which autonomies you may want to pick up as they pull back to their 200-day moving averages. And on that note, all the best.